Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
In Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of hosts has sworn an oath saying, just as I have intended, so it has certainly happened, and just as I have planned, so it will stand. Verse 27 says, for the Lord of hosts has decided and planned, and who can annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? You see, God says he chose us in him before the beginning of time. So if he chose us, he already prepared our future for us at the beginning of time. And he says, don't depend on luck for your future. Depend on my word. Depend on my direction. I will lead you. He says, I will lead you and guide you in the way that you should go. So he's leading us. He says, commit your ways to me, Proverbs 16, and I will cause your thoughts to become as my thoughts. So he's going to take us in the way that he has planned for us to go. Are you with me? So it's not luck. It's based on his plan. So if we're not looking for his plan, we're looking in the wrong place. So it's just like me going to the pitch and toss and thinking, I'll come away a rich man. Or playing three-card brag or whatever it was we used to do to try and think we were going to become rich. Casinos, when they opened the casinos in South Africa, all the poor people went to the casinos with all the money they had, and they thought, if I just put it in that slot machine, I'm going to be rich. Maybe if you'd invested that somewhere else and knew the law of compound interest, then they would have got somewhere and it would have done them some good. You know what I'm saying? The enemy wants to put false illusions of grandeur in your head, but those false illusions of grandeur are false. That's why the bookies do so well. That's why the lottery does so well. That's because everyone thinks, I'm going to win this. No, but you've got to trust in God. Life's not a lottery. God has already planned. Oh, that's good. I could preach on that. Life's not a lottery. Life's not a gamble. God has already planned out your end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And he says, I've known you since before you were in your mother's womb, and I have a plan for your life. In Jeremiah 29:11, I have a plan for your life. It's a good plan. So when we find his plan, we can get to the place that he wants us to go. So he says, and strangers, the Bible says, and strangers shall come and feed your flocks, and aliens shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. So how did Lee get that house? How did he get the stuff that he got with no money? Because one scripture in the Bible says that you'll live in houses that you never built. So God has a plan, and when you follow his plan, you say, well, I don't understand how he could do that. I've spoken to him about it, how he got a mortgage when he got refused from everybody else. God had his hands in that situation. So when God has a plan, you're going to be, as long as you yield to the plan, you will get to where he wants you to go. So when we're talking about a prophetic word, we've got to pray into that and say, Lord, how will this affect me? Well, verse 7 says, let me read verse 6 first. But you shall be called priests of the Lord, the ministers of God. You shall eat the strength of nations and shall be admired because of their wealth. Thus shall they inherit the land for a second time, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. So I believe that the Bible says that the riches of the wicked are stored up for the just. That's what it's saying here. You shall eat the strength of nations and shall be admired because of their wealth. You are only one good idea away from that wealth-producing factor. You're only one good idea away from it. You're only one revelation away from where God wants you to be. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You're only one good revelation away from where God wants you to be. And he says, and they shall inherit the land a second time, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. For I am the Lord who loves righteousness and hate robberies of injustice, and I will give their labor to the just and will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known amongst the Gentiles, their offspring in the midst of peoples. Everyone that sees them shall take notice of them, and they are a seed blessed of God, and they shall greatly rejoice in the Lord. We are a seed blessed of God. You see, whenever the blessing of God came upon a household, when Jesus was preaching at the lake of Gennesaret, he saw the fisherman's boat and he says, can I use your boat to minister out of? And when he moved into that boat, the boat was blessed. And we see that when the fishermen went out to fish again and they caught nothing, and Jesus says, take your net, go and cast it in the other side. They brought in such a haul, it took two boats and their neighbors to pull that haul in because they were blessed. You see, the blessed life is where I want to live. How many of you would say that? You want to live a blessed life. You don't want to live a life filled of hassle, filled with care. And the Bible there says, rejoice, and they shall greatly rejoice in the Lord. You see, the enemy's trying to steal your joy, so we got to rejoice in the Lord always. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So no matter how great the spiritual attack is, no matter how greatly the enemy is coming against you, rejoice. You say, well, it doesn't make an ounce of sense, Pastor. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the battles I'm facing. Rejoice that you're saved. Rejoice that you're going to heaven. Rejoice that there's a future and a hope for you. Rejoice in the fact that he says he'll bless your children and bless everything your hand finds to do, according to Psalm 1. We can rejoice in these things. Amen? Amen. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. Glory to God. So, let me read this from Hebrews 6, verse 17, in the Amplified Bible, 17 to 19. The Bible says, in the same way, God, in his desire, whose desire? God's desire. It's God's desire. God desires more than we desire. If we could desire the way God desires, but he says God, accordingly to in his desire to show us more convincingly and beyond doubt to those who were to inherit the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose and plan, intervened, mediated with an oath. Wow. How many of you got that verse printed in your bathroom mirror, or you've got it in your bedside stand, or how many of you have got that printed out? This week, you know, there's sometimes pastors go through spiritual attack like 80% of a day. Whatever, you go through spiritual attack. If you don't have somewhere to go, when you're in the spiritual attack, you move into a place called depression. You move into the morass, the mire, the miry clay, you fighting thoughts and everything all the time. So in my Bible, this is my Bible. You see there in the front, to be God inside minded. I've got this, it's so old, it's brown. I've had it in here for 34 years or something, stuck in the front of my Bible. And it says this, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a physical body. My spirit is the candle of the Lord. God, my Father, is guiding me into all truth through my Spirit. I'm a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God. I listen to my heart as I look to my spirit inside me. The Holy Spirit gives direction to my spirit and illumination to my mind. He leads me in the way I should go in all the affairs of life. He leads me by my inward witness. The eyes of my understanding are being enlightened. Wisdom is in my inward parts. His love is perfected in me. I have an unction from the Holy One. So anyway, it goes on. I'm becoming spirit conscious. I read this to be encouraged so as I can rejoice again in these promises that God has given me. You see, because if we're not spirit-minded, what's the opposite? Fleshly minded. We're fleshly minded. We think of everything that can go wrong, not what can go right. God wants us to think about everything that's going right and not everything that's going wrong. Sure. I almost used a street term there, but things happen. Life happens. It's going to happen. It's going to continue happening until the day you die. Life is going to happen. And stuff you don't want to happen is going to come right up and hit you right in the face. It's like I saw this new game they had out where you put your head through something and roll this thing and it hits you with a cream or whatever's on the thing. It hits you in the face. And you think, why would you want to even play something as stupid as that? You know what I'm saying? It's like, that is nuts. Whatever hits you in the face, make sure it's good. And so if you move from the spirit or the flesh into the spirit, and by the way, if anyone wants something like this, I can email it out. Or I've also got other things, because Christ Inside Scriptures, 4 pages of those. You see, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our confession. We've got to have a default setting that saves our spirits and saves our mind, saves our life. Because when you get into depression, it's a hard place to get out of. Don't ever go there. So let's go back to Hebrews 6:17. God's promise has an unchangeable nature of his purpose. So his purpose is based on his promises. Or his promise is based on his purpose so that his purpose can be completed. Someone said to me, we're doing okay. We never wanted to be rich. And I said, why? They said, well, we just have enough. We just want enough to be comfortable. I said, why? They said, well, that's what we want. I said, well, what does God want? Well, he wants us to be comfortable. I said, well, I think God wants us to have more than enough. He sent his son Jesus, who died to give us life and life more abundantly, so that we could, 2/3 of the world are in poverty. And he placed us in a blessed position so that we could help those who have nothing. Are you with me? So he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be blessed so that we can be philanthropic, so his purposes are done. Amen. The friend of ours, Didier Tisson, who's been here and who'll come back, the Zambian government gave him, I think it was 12,000 hectares of ground. And he posted some pictures recently of it, and you just see how he's changed that ground. And we see the corn coming up and just as far as the eye can see. So the millions that he's got, he's using in a place, Zambia, so that he can feed the nation of Zambia. Do you get it? So God's given us that finance so that we can feed others, so that we can use that for the extension of his kingdom. Amen. So it's the unchangeableness of his purpose. So to know what his purpose is, we have to read the word. So he intervened and guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie. So going back to our prophetic word, thus shall they inherit the land a second time, and everlasting joy will be on their head. You see, that's God's purpose, that we inherit the land a second time, that we rebuild those desolate places, we rebuild those homes, those streets to dwell in. We do all that because that's God's purpose. And he gave us an oath to say that's the way it's going to be. And then he goes on, we who have fled to him for refuge, so that we who had fled to him for refuge would have a strong encouragement and indwelling strength to hold tightly to the hope. This year we're sharing on hope and favor set before us. This hope, this confident assurance we have as an anchor of the soul, it cannot slip, it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it, a safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, that most holy place in which every presence of God dwells. You see, that confident assurance, that anchor of the soul, it cannot slip and break down under whatever pressure comes against it. That's what we're talking. We're talking about the favor of God this year. We're talking about the hope that God has given us as Christians, and we're talking about the prophetic word that we're going to inherit, that which we've won, lost. Same as David came out of, went back to Ziklag, the town was burnt down, his family, his children, all his possessions were taken, and all his mighty men were going to kill him. And he says to God, God, my tears have dried up, what will I do? And God says, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. Pursue, overtake, recover all. Pursue, overtake, recover all. Recover that which you once had. Recover that love for the Lord. Recover the zeal of God. Recover those things. Recover the joy of your salvation. Listen, church, we should be joyful. There is joy in my heart, and there is joy in my heart today. There is joy in my heart to the break of day. Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Yay! Give yourself a clap. There's joy in my heart. So these are wee songs that we learned when we were children. And if we keep those wee songs, right, you're having a bad day. There is joy in my heart. There is joy in my heart. But after a few lines of that, you'll have joy in your heart. You get it? It's like, how are you going to get up from a down position with the joy in your heart? Rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in these promises, which says that indwelling strength, that hope of hope, hold tightly to the irrefutable word of God, the immutable word of God. He says, by these two things, I've given you my promise and an oath. God cannot... Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? And shall he not cause it to come to pass? Shall he not make it good? Amen. He shall make it good. He shall make everything in your life good. He wants you to be built up in your most holy faith. He wants you to be built up in your spirit. He wants you to be full of encouragement, so full that that encouragement flows over to others. He wants you to be so filled with joy that people will enjoy being around you. They'll come to your home just because you exude the joy of the Lord in your life, and just because you're an up person in a down world, just because you've always got something good to say about something, because Christ dwells in you, the hope of glory. Amen. It's the hope of glory that gives us hope for the future. It's that hope of the unshakable, unmovable word of the living God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. We thank God for that. Let me just finish with this. Seeing precedes possession. Seeing precedes possession. We've got to see that word. You've got to see your street. You've got to see your neighbors. You've got to see your friends changing. You walk down the street and you ask anybody, how's it going today or whatever? Well, it's a gray day. It's a blue day. I'm feeling terrible. My legs, my head, my hat. Something's hurt. The country's no right. It's going to hell in a breadbasket and all sorts of things. You just hear it everywhere you go. But you should bring light in the gloom. Amen? And it's possible just by a smile. I was speaking to Alec the other day, and he walks his dog through the glen in the morning, and there's these dog walkers, and they're full of doom and gloom, and he says he got in their faces and he smiles and says, "Good morning," until they've started to smile back and say, they've started grunting back, but it's a start. You know, it's like, just smile. It'll go a mile. It'll change people's lives. Amen. So I never got to my real notes today, but as you meditate on His Word, that meditation will cause you to see something, and you'll see God's plan for your life, and seeing precedes possession. Once you see something, you can then translate it. Your thoughts will translate into actions, and your actions will bring you to the place of possessing the promise. So when you see it in your spirit, that will translate to a thought that translates to an action, which will translate to you possessing what you see. Amen. That's how it works. That's how the kingdom of God works. And that's how we are going to work as we relaunch into 2017. We are going to, this is going to be a quantum church. Everybody go back and look at TED Talks and look up quantum and TED Talks and start to learn about quantum physics and how the... I listened to TED Talks on how they making microchips smaller and smaller and how they do it. It's amazing that these things eventually start to multiply themselves. You say, how does that happen? Well, you see, there's things that we don't even understand, but once we start to understand them, then the bigness of God is revealed. And you think, well, if scientists are getting it, I should be getting it. You know, and you only to the level that you can understand will you be blessed, because your understanding makes you outstanding. So the more you understand, the more you will stand out. Are you with me? So we just have to exercise our brains, church. You see, God, the creator of the whole universe, didn't create people without a brain. He created us so that we could think through things. And somebody says we only use 5% of our brain, but we think we have all the answers. And it's like, man, there is a world out there. There's a world that we can't see, which is creating all the time. Amen. I hope you got something from that. I know it was kind of a bit all over the place this morning, but I guess that's according to what you needed. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.